So, I think I can locate my journey from a more conservative evangelical world to this wonderful world of woke in one place. In fact, in one particular passage of scripture. Two, if you include the fact that one is a quote of the other. And yes, you guessed it, it's this passage from Luke chapter 4 that we heard as our second reading just a few minutes ago this evening. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, quotes Jesus, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And so it goes from there. More in a moment. I mean, I'd love to have something odd that was the beginning of my road to a broader and expansive understanding of Scripture. Perhaps the Song of Songs, which we heard about last week, a good bit of fruity, erotic poetry. Or even in today's Psalm, verse 10 of Psalm 147. He, the Lord, hath no pleasure in the strength of an horse, neither delighteth he in any man's legs. But I didn't have anything quite so outrageous. It was the account of Jesus reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue at Nazareth, which began to open my mind and my heart way back, I remember it, in 1986. In fact, I could say it was the Bible that turned me liberal, for a whole bunch of reasons, some of which I'm going to touch on, or try and touch on in the next few minutes. Firstly, it was the action of the Spirit. In verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, the opening verse of today's reading, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. The Spirit in Luke's gospel is active at work throughout the book. She leads Jesus into the wilderness to face the temptations in that mythic encounter with which we begin Lent time. Then the Spirit leads Jesus out of this wilderness time back into his homeland of Galilee, where in the synagogue he is drawn, led, inspired to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, a statement of intent at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And what is this intent? At the very start, under the anointing of the same Spirit, it is to bring good news to the poor. Now, good news to the poor is not Jesus loves you, or if you say this prayer, you will be saved. As the African proverb says, an empty belly has no ears. Good news to the poor is being fed, clothed, and cared for. And more, good news for the poor is that systems which create the conditions of poverty will be challenged, dismantled, and replaced with values of justice and equity. To continue, Jesus states that the Spirit anoints to proclaim release to the captive, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. Now, in many churches, they have spiritualized this passage, by which I mean they talk about spiritual captives and the spiritually blind, those oppressed by evil, etc. And there is some mileage and meaning in seeing both of those ways of interpreting the text. But both with the opening sentence proclaiming good news to the poor and the closing words, the year of the Lord's favor, one cannot remain just in a spiritual realm. The year of the Lord's favor was the year, as previously mentioned, of Jubilee. It was the year all debts were to be cancelled, the year all land was to be returned to the original owners, the year slaves were to be set free, the year when justice prevailed in the land. Is there any evidence this ever happened in ancient Israel? Well, no. But the Hebrew scriptures are pretty clear. This is a calling for all faithful people to never get so entrenched in injustice that equity is lost. And we only have to turn to the scroll from which Jesus is quoting here to see more of that principle evidence from the words of the prophet. Verse 8 of Isaiah 61, which we heard just recently, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. On top of this, Jesus chooses to edit his reading from the scroll of Isaiah. When he talks of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, he takes out the second half of that verse, which talks of the day of vengeance of our God that you can see in the printout of Isaiah in your bulletins. Jesus chooses justice without vengeance, healing instead of breaking, building up instead of destruction. So in case it got lost in the mix, This passage began my journey to a liberal theology, to progressive theology, and to general wokeness, because it sets justice as the primary focus of Jesus' mission and ministry. It prevents us over-spiritualizing at the expense of actually working for the betterment of our neighbor. It encourages a thoughtful and flexible encounter with Scripture, and it credits the Spirit as the foundation of all this work, the Spirit which is available to all, not just a chosen few, as we will hear in more detail at our celebration of Pentecost next week. And lastly, it gives me a reply to the person who once wrote to Bishop Logan to complain about me. Well, she didn't once write to Bishop Logan. She repeatedly wrote to Bishop Logan. But they were quite keen on such letters, though never once spoke to me about their disagreements with me. This person wrote that we never spoke about justice at St. John's except when one of my part-time colleagues was the preacher. To which I would counter, well, even if you don't hear the words which all the other preachers speak, at least listen to the Scriptures if you want justice to be front and center of our gatherings. Thanks be to God. Amen.